All right, lecture 12, preparing Christian youth for outreach. Preparing Christian youth for outreach. Remember, I said in some ways, you're trying to help young people discover who God made them to be. And you do that through helping them get closer to God. And helping them get closer to one another, you know, sort of sharing the load, discovering things in community. But ultimately, we share that beyond ourselves. And it's really when we start sharing something that we finally understand what we actually have in the first place. Okay? You don't know what you have until you start giving it away. So, where do you start? You start, I think I mentioned it in another lecture, you start leadership. Remember, it starts with this, but sharing starts with this too. It starts with a walk with God. If you don't have a walk with God, you have nothing to share. I mean, ultimately, you're not just sharing knowledge. You're not just sharing concepts and principles and morality, a way of life, a community. You're sharing a walk with God. Okay, whatever that is, that's what you're sharing with someone else. That's what you have. You don't have a sermon. You don't have the choir. You don't have the book. What you have is a walk with God. Well, what is a walk with God? A walk with God is a relationship with God, and like any relationship, it takes talking, listening, and you have to do it repeatedly. Right? I mean, you have a friend. How did that friendship develop? Talking, listening, repeatedly, over a year, over years. And now you have a relationship. Talking, listening, repeatedly. How does marriage work? Talking, listening, repeatedly. How does friendship work? Talking, listening, repeatedly. How does anything work? A walk with God is the same. So, if people want a walk with God, they have to talk to God. We call it prayer. They have to listen to God. And the most consistent form of listening is the Word of God. And they need a habit of it. I mean, if you do that once with somebody, you meet somebody, you talk and listen to them once, never see them again, you don't have much of a relationship. Or if you, let's say once a week you went somewhere and someone talked about somebody. Let's say you're married, but you never talk to your spouse. You just go to a building and somebody else talks about your wife for a half an hour once a week. What kind of relationship would you have with your wife? But that's what a lot of people do with God. They go to church, listen to someone else talk about them for a half an hour, once a week. Now, you have to take ownership for your own walk with God. Young people need to take ownership for their own walk with God. And then do this walk, this talking, listening repeatedly, in the seven connections. You talk, listen repeatedly with a friend, with family, with a support group. With church. That's what church is. It's talking, listening repeatedly with that group of people. The kingdom. What is God doing in the world? What is God doing in church history? And then the world that is not connected to. That's what we're talking about in this lecture. How do you do it? Talking, listening repeatedly. It's the same relationship building exercise. So number one, absolutely. Number one, a walk with God. Young people need to start there. Or who knows what they're sharing with somebody. Number two, education. Okay? Education. Young people need education in order to make a difference in the lives of those who do not know Christ. And I love 1 Peter 3 because all the elements are in this verse. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. All right. So what are these parts? Okay. Always be prepared to give an answer. Okay, if you're going to engage with people who don't know Christ, you need to be prepared. You need to know what people think. You need to know that most young people graduating from public high school believe in evolution. That's what they're taught. That's what they believe. They don't believe in the, you know, 7 days of creation. So how are you going to do that? They believe that premarital sex is okay. It's just normal. Sex and commitment and having a family, these things are not related to each other. Well, you have to know that going in. But you can also know that young people are lost. That there's nothing personal in the universe. Do you know why? You know why this gender issue is so big right now? You know, my gender. What's my gender? He, she, it, they, Zed, all these different names. Why are people making such a big deal of this? Well, you know, who cares? The reason people are making such a big deal of this is because we've taken the personalness out of creation. There's nothing personal about creation. It's just atoms and molecules doing what they do. There's no sense to it. There's no purpose to the universe. There's not a personal God behind it. And if there's nothing personal behind it, then there's nothing personable about me. Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm just molecules. I'm atoms bouncing this way and that, following predetermined laws, scientific laws. I have nothing to do with it. There's no freedom. There's no free choice. Okay, so this is what people are being taught. And they're pushing back by saying, no, I am a person. I'm a person. And this is my person. You know, and they have their own pronoun. I need my own pronoun because I have nothing else. See, Christians can say, my gender doesn't matter at all. I'm a child of God. Okay? That's what makes me somebody. That's what gives me personhood. Okay? So our young people have to be educated in, you know, what it is we actually believe. Prepared. Understand this is what people are thinking and this is what we believe. So education. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. Okay, an answer. You have to have some evidence. What's your answer to this problem? What's your answer to evolution? What's your answer to cosmology? What's your answer to the atheist who says there's nothing personal? What's your answer to someone who says there's no scientific evidence that God exists? What's your answer to people who say, well, the church has been a plague on society, has brought misery to people throughout, and then they quote, you know, some historical things, negative things that have happened because of the church? You know, the Catholic Church, you know, the abuse of children, the Spanish Inquisition, where people were tortured because they didn't have the right faith, and all the negative things that have happened in Christianity. People are going to say, well, this is what that is. And what are you going to say? By the way, the Spanish Inquisition, they were like, I think a total over like 150 years, there was like 3,000 people that were killed. Meanwhile, in Russia, 20 million, you know, in Russia where they're saying there's no God in the name of atheism, 20 million. I mean, so helping our young people get prepared with education, with evidence, like why do you believe what you believe? Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Hope. That is such a good word. When I planted a church in Vancouver, British Columbia, back in the late 80s, we named it Hope. Because I thought, this is really what people need. I like to say to people that I choose hope. Because I think there's three options. In our modern world, in our modern worldview of the materialistic world, there's no God, it's just atoms and, you know, the Big Bang, the universe, the laws that created life, and all those things. That leads to despair. Because what's the purpose of it all? There's no purpose, first of all, for the earth. There's no purpose for the universe. It's all going to blackness and darkness. Okay? Each star is getting farther and farther away from itself. Soon every sun will burn out. There'll be nothing but blackness. Okay? Despair. There's no purpose for your life, what you do or you don't do. In 100 years, every one of us, every one of you that's listening to this thing, will be gone. And it will be as if you never existed at all, at least as far as you're concerned. So that's a pretty discouraging despair view. So that you could accept the general view of life, world view of life, and you will end in despair. But most people are going to go, I can't handle that. So what they do instead is they choose denial. Denial is when you know something, but you deny it. I know my life is meaningless, but I'm going to live my life as if it's meaningful. And how do you engage in denial? When bad things are happening, how do you do it? Well, drugs, alcohol, music, work, you know, you spend all your time working on something. It feels like you have a purpose when you're working on it. You lose yourself into something. It's called denial. But eventually, the despair will catch up with you. You can't deny it forever. Eventually, the doctor says cancer or something happens. So there's despair, and then the way to cope with it is denial. Then there's a third option. Hope. That maybe there is purpose. Maybe there is a God. Maybe my life has purpose. And if I find it, then maybe that's how I can live my life. Hope. Well, how do you know your hope is true or not true? Well, maybe I don't. But I choose hope. I could choose despair, or I could live in denial, but I choose the positive thing. I choose hope. What do you want to choose? Personal. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You know, when I'm talking to people, I'm going to give them the hope that I have. I'm going to share my experiences and why I think what I think. Why I believe in God, how God has been in my life, how He's intersected, where I've seen Him at work. At least that's how I see it. How God has, you know, perform miracles in my life, and I will share that. I will say, this is why I believe. And you know what? No one can argue with that. No one can argue with your personal experience. They can say, well, that I'm glad that worked for you, but it doesn't work for me. Fine. But my experience is my experience. And my reason for believing is my reason for believing, and that's what I'm going to share. And that's what young people can do. And that's all you have to do. What they do with what you share is really between them and God. Love. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Okay, I find that, you know, you're not going to argue someone into the kingdom. You know, you're there, you know, you're wrong and I'm right. That's not. You're going to love people. Hey, you disagree with me, you disagree with me. I'm sharing what works for me. And if something of what I say makes sense to you, then great. If not, then, you know, it's your life. I'm not going to control your life. I don't want to control your life. The decision you make about your life is your decision. I'm not trying to force you. You have to come to it to yourself. You have to figure this out. That is so freeing when you're sharing your faith. I don't have to make you a Christian. Integrity, gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. I'm going to live my faith. I'm going to share my faith. And how that intersects with your life. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God for your decision, what you want to do. God is the one that has to make a move in your life. The Holy Spirit has to blow into your life. And I don't control the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you where the windy place is for me. Number three, I think we need to teach our young people in evangelism to just invite people to taste. Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Look, you don't believe in God? Well, taste and see. Come to church. See if it does anything for you. Start reading the Bible. See if it connects. Start praying. See if it works. You don't have to do any of these things. You know, you just keep living your life. If you're happy the way you are and what you believe and what you're doing, then just keep doing it. But if you're not, if you're struggling, if you're broken, if life isn't going well, then I'm just inviting you to taste something different and see if something different doesn't happen for you. The question I love to ask people is, what is your spiritual dream? What is your spiritual dream? I love the question because people will answer it. They won't know what you're asking. They may say, well, what do you mean by spiritual? And I usually just say, well, whatever it means to you. And what people will tell you is their deepest dream. They will say what's most important to them. And often there's two answers. There's a God answer, like, I'm trying to figure out the meaning of the universe, or I'm trying to, you know, discover who God is, or I'm trying to find my purpose, or something along those lines. Or they'll say, I'm trying to help young people, or I'm trying to, I want to go into social work. I want to have a family. I want to have a good marriage. I want to have a good family relationships. These are the kinds of things that I want. And most people will say something like that. And what's interesting to me is they say the very two things, the same thing. There's a God answer. You know, they're reaching up, trying to find out the force or something beyond themselves. I want to know what's out there, the truth. Okay? And I want a connection with the people around me, a meaningful connection. I want to make a difference in the life of somebody. And those are the two things that Adam and Eve, you know, when sin first came into the world, I mentioned that. When sin came into the world, they hid from God. People want God. That's their dream. But they hide. They want a good connection to the people around them, but they hide. There's brokenness here. There's brokenness here. It's what we want. But sin is the thing that keeps us from getting what we want. Whatever that might be. So, if you want, whatever your spiritual dream is, there is a way to get it. And you may be frustrated because you're not getting it. It's because you haven't dealt with that broken thing. What's broken about it? That's what Christianity is about. That's what Jesus is all about. To help restore the very thing that we want. So I find, again, why I like that is I'm starting with what you want, not with what I want for you. Teaching young people to listen. Where are you? And are you happy with where you are? See, most people aren't happy. They're not happy with where they're at. So if you can just get them talking about, well, what do you believe, and is this producing happiness in you? No, it's not. Okay, well, are you open to an alternative? Are you open to a taste and see? Taste and see if something else. Why not? What do you have to lose? Next question, is your current worldview working for you? Okay, that's what I've been saying. Is it working? If it's working, keep going. Don't let me get in your way. If it's not working, are you willing to look at an alternative? Have you ever really tried Christianity? You've given lip service to it. You think you know about it. Oh, the Bible is out of date. Really? Is it? Do you know that? You could share a few verses that aren't out of date at all. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. That's in the Bible. Does that sound crazy? Sounds like a great relationship tip, doesn't it? And there's hundreds more. Have you ever really given Christianity a try? What do you have to lose? If you were raised Christian, well, why did you leave it? What unhooked you? A lot of people have a memory of Christianity and something negative happened. Something with their parents, something with the church, something with the pastor, something with, I don't know what it is. But if you can connect any of that and get them to tell you about it and explore it. In other words, reaching out is more about listening to where people are at and helping them face the brokenness that they feel. While we were sinners, while we were broken, Christ died for us. We need to help people tap into their own brokenness. Now, I think the old style of evangelism was to tell people that they're broken. You are broken. No. People already know they're broken. It's just they're hiding from their brokenness, and you need to bring them out. You need to create a safe place for them to explore their brokenness. And once the brokenness is on the table, then the possibility of God coming in is exposed. Taste and see that God is good. Okay. Well, this is the last lecture of this course. Again, I have no idea why you took the course, what situation you find yourself in. I hope that some of the things you learn are going to help you in your Christian walk and ministry, no matter what it is. Because a lot of these principles are the same no matter who you're trying to help. Men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, parenting, it doesn't matter. A lot of these things are exactly the same. But I guess my last little encouragement to you is God led you to take this course for some reason. It is no mistake. And He has been working in your life, oh, I don't know how long. And He's been doing things. And maybe you've run into trouble and you've had a hard life. I don't know. But God uses all of that. There's nothing that goes on in your life that God doesn't, He doesn't waste any of it. He wants to use it. So I don't know what you're going to do with this. But God has something in mind for you to do. I don't know if this course has helped you figure that out or not. I hope it has. But if it hasn't, don't give up. Don't give up. God has something for you to do. You are here for one reason, and one reason only. He has stuff for you to do. You are needed in the building of His kingdom. And I pray God's blessing on you in whatever it is. And maybe we'll see you out there someday. Thank you.